Hello and welcome. I'd like to thank you once again for joining with us for this time as we come around God's precious word. I want to deal with the subject tonight, preparing for the known instead of the unknown. And one verse of scripture I want to consider with you is found in Amos and the chapter 4 and the verse 12. It says, "Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God." It's really just that last phrase of the verse which we want to consider together, where the Lord says, "Prepare to meet thy God." You know, preparation in life is vital in order to be successful. There are many different events in your life which you need to prepare for. You think of a couple whenever they're getting married. There is a great deal of preparation which needs to take place in order for the day to be successful. A venue has to be arranged, a hotel, the church, and cars, wedding dress, other dresses, suits, flowers. There's so much preparation goes in to that day in order for it to pass off well. You think as well, whenever a couple are expecting a baby, much preparation has to be made. You think if a room has to be furnished, certain equipment has to be bought, such as a pram, a car seat, and the different things that are needed, bottles, clothes, etc., all for the arrival of that little one into a family. And over these last number of days and weeks, we have seen and we have watched as the government and the different departments within government have been making much preparation for the oncoming crisis of this coronavirus. We have watched as government has spent an awful lot of money, as the health service has sought to free up beds and equipment and medical staff in order to facilitate what may come if this crisis really and this virus really hits into our communities. But while we have watched and we have listened as so much preparation has been made, in reality there is so much unknown about the future. We do not know exactly how serious this virus will hit our community. We do not know how long it will last for in our community. We have listened as various experts from different fields have said that it will last possibly for a number of months, or maybe only weeks, or maybe even longer. And no one can give a definite figure as to how many people will be affected and infected with the virus. And no one can put a certain estimate or a certain figure in even the mortality rate. And so much of the future is unknown, and yet we are endeavouring to make preparation for it. But I wonder, have you prepared for the known? Because it tells us in that verse, in Amos chapter 4, the verse 12, it says, "Prepare to meet thy God." We know for a fact, every single one of us one day will meet God. And I wonder today, have you prepared to meet him? Romans chapter 14, verses 11 and 12 says, "As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." Revelation 20, verse 12, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." So God is clearly telling us throughout scripture that there is coming a day when every single person, man, woman, boy and girl, will stand before Almighty God. We will all meet with him. That day is known as Judgment Day. And we will all meet with him regardless of our religious background, regardless of where you are from, regardless of who you are in society, everyone will stand before God. Everyone will meet him. That includes the rulers of our land. That includes the religious leaders of our land. That includes you. And that includes me. And every one of us on that day, as we have read together, will confess that Jesus Christ alone is Lord. There is no other God beside him. There is no other a figure that we can turn to and put our faith and trust in. There is only one God, the living and true God. And we don't know when that day will be, when we will meet him. We don't know when in the future that will take place, whether it be days, weeks, months, or years. We have no idea when God will return. But we do know that that day will take place. So how do we prepare to meet God? Well, if I was told that I was going to meet the Queen, if I was told that on a certain date that I was going to stand before the Queen, I would probably make sure and make preparation to meet her. I would endeavour to either have a new suit or make sure that my very best suit was clean and presentable, my shoes were shiny, my shirt was crisp and ready to go, and I would make every effort to meet her and to be acceptable looking even before the Queen. But our own efforts in preparing to meet God are not good enough. And yes, if I turned up in my best suit to the Queen, I would be accepted before her as long as I was properly dressed and looking the part. But yet if I did my very best to stand before God on my own merits, on my own strengths, I would not be accepted. The Lord would look at me. The Lord would look upon me. He would see my very best efforts. He would see my good living. He would see my righteousness. And he would describe them as he does in Isaiah 64 and the verse 6 as filthy rags. You see, we all have the problem of sin within us. All of us. There's not one man or woman, boy or girl in this world that has never sinned. We have all failed and let down the Lord. 1 John 1 and the verse 8, it says, if we say that we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. I wonder today, can you imagine turning up to the Queen in filthy garments? Can you imagine if you were given an invitation, come and see the Queen, come to Buckingham Palace and spend time with her, would you turn up in your dirtiest clothes? Would you be accepted? Would you be allowed in? No. We would be turned away. We would not be allowed to stand before the Queen. You think of all of those people that go along and whenever they go for their knighthoods or the OBEs or CBEs, and they're all dressed, the men are dressed in their very best suits and shoes, and even top hats are with them. The ladies are in lovely dresses and hats and fascinators. Everyone is there to a certain standard of attire. But with God, that standard is even higher. For God is holy. And God has a very high standard which must be reached in order for us to be accepted by him. And I have to tell you that there's only one who has ever reached that standard. There's only one who has ever got to that level where they are acceptable before Almighty God. And that is the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father said of the Lord Jesus, he said in Matthew 3 in the verse 17, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Tells us in 1 Peter 2 in the verse 21 that Christ also suffered for us. In verse 22 it says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And so in order for us to be accepted by God, we need what the Lord Jesus Christ has. We need the standard that the Lord Jesus Christ has set in order for us to be accepted. And how do we attain to that standard? How do we get what the Lord Jesus Christ has? Well, in order for us to have what Christ has, there has to be an exchange. There has to be a taking of our sins off us. And the Lord Jesus Christ is willing to do that. He is willing to take your sins. And he is willing then in exchange to give you and to impute to you his righteousness. Martin Luther described it as the sweetest exchange. For the Lord takes away from us our sins, our filthiness, our wickedness, and he replaces it with his righteousness. So then if Christ takes our sin, and if Christ replaces it with his righteousness, then we are acceptable and we are ready to meet with God. But then the question you may ask is, well, how does this happen? How does Christ take our sin? And how does Christ give us his righteousness? Well, firstly, you need to realize that you are a sinner. Firstly, you need to realize that you have sinned, that right now, in and of yourselves, you're not good enough to stand before God. There has to be that acceptance that you're falling far short of the glory of God. You need to accept that you cannot fix it yourself. And you need to realize and accept as well straight away that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can change you. And the only one who can cleanse you from your sin. You see, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he came down into this world and he went to the cross. He was the perfect Son of God. He was the perfect man. And he went to the cross and he was that perfect sacrifice for sin. He shed his precious blood. He endured the wrath of God upon that cross. He paid the penalty in full for our sin, if we then but come and give our sin to him. And I wonder today, will you even do it right now where you are? Will you realize that you are a sinner? And will you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to take your sin and to wash you in his precious blood? Because whenever you ask the Lord and you come to that realization, I am a sinner and I need the Lord's salvation. And you cry unto the Lord, then the Lord has promised to wash you and to cleanse you and to save you immediately. I wonder, will you do it even now where you are? You know, we have heard over these last a number of days and weeks the word priority a lot. And we have watched as the government is prioritizing what needs to be done first. We have watched as the medical services are prioritizing what is the very necessity of care that needs to be prepared and needs to be given at this time. And we have saw as certain surgeries have been cancelled, certain practices have been cancelled in order to free up beds, to free up a staff, in order to prioritize the coming coronavirus. And in all of our lives, we have priorities. We can say that there are certain things that are more important to us and certain things that need to be done which are more important than others. But can I say to you that preparing to meet God is your greatest priority? Mark 8 in the verses 36 and 37, it teaches us that there is nothing more important and there is nothing more valuable than your soul. Each one of us has a soul which needs to be saved. And it must be saved, or else you are not prepared to meet God. It must be taken to the Lord and asked the Lord to save you and to save your soul. Let me encourage you, don't put it off. Yes, these are busy times. People are making preparations in various ways, whether it be for themselves or for their families. They're making as best the preparations as they can for what lies ahead. But let me tell you right now, there is nothing more important and there is no greater priority than your soul and preparing to meet God. Don't put it off another day. Don't put it off another moment. It tells in 2 Corinthians the chapter 6 and the verse 2, Behold, now is the accepted time, and now is the day of salvation. You know, there are many things in life that are unknown, and they simply cannot be prepared for completely. We can make our best efforts, we can prepare for what we think is around the corner, but no man knoweth what a day will bring forth. But we can prepare for what is known, and one day we will meet God. And I urge you even now to be ready, even wherever you are, whether you be at home watching this, or whether you be watching it on your phone, maybe out in the car, or wherever you are, prepare right now to meet God. Confess your sin, repent of your sin. Ask the Lord to forgive you and to save you. And the Lord has promised that him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Prepare for the known. Prepare to meet thy God. Let's have a moment's prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that thou hast warned us even of what is to come. We thank thee, O God, even for that exhortation that is given in thy word to prepare to meet our God. And I do pray that each and every one that will see this video, each and every one that will listen to this message, that preparation will have been made in their lives. They will have turned from their sin and they will have put their faith and trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, bless each one, we pray thee. Write thy word upon each heart, and may thy spirit even work for the glory of God in these days. In Jesus' name, amen. And we thank you once again for watching. I do pray that the Lord will continue to bless and to be with each one in the days that lie ahead. Thank you very much.